All right, continuing now with the conversation. Our next guest, Jared Skorup, Director of Marketing and Communications for the Mackinac Center. Student debt, a problem not fully understood. Student loan debt is around $1.5 trillion. Of course, Elizabeth Warren and others say that they'll forgive all that. Now, if that's true, then I want my student loan reparations payments. But that's for another day. Jared, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, all right, you say that it is misunderstood. I mean, to me, I look at what happened about 10 years ago. The United States government became fully involved with student loans, something that I don't believe it should be involved with. And over the last 10 years, because of that, I've seen one government entity giving a loan to a citizen that they spend that money with a college or university, oftentimes another government entity, and the cost of college in the last 10 years has gone off the charts. Am I missing something?
You are not missing something. The main thing I just try to make as a point is there seems to be something in the mind of a lot of people that if we get more government involvement, if we encourage more loans and subsidies, that will bring costs down. And that doesn't make sense really in any area. I mean, this would be like saying, well, we think food is really important, and so what we're going to do is we're going to have the federal government give a bunch of subsidies to Walmart or a bunch of loans for people to take out food and expect the price of food to go down. I mean, that wouldn't cause any effect there, and it doesn't cause any effect for college. So the one main point is just that these subsidies and loans are, which the federal government, as you mentioned, have been increasingly involved in, is what's causing the increase in cost.
No question. I mean, it's not just increasingly involved with. The United States government now controls 99% of student loans. When did the government become a loan institution? I remember when I got a student loan back just after the earth cooled, I went to a local bank and filled out the paperwork and agreed to pay it back. And you know what I did? I paid it back.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it worked.
Prior to 1970, not a lot of involvement in the federal government in loans. They began getting increasingly involved then, but really in about 2004, 2005, they really began taking on the increasing amount to the extent, like you said, now that's almost all the loans go through the federal government at pretty high interest rates for a lot of people. And then, of course, whenever there's defaults, taxpayers are on the hook for picking up the cost. So taxpayers owe billions of dollars, whole billions of dollars that they have to pay out every year to make up for the loans that people can't pay back.
Right. So, and you know, I'd like to say that should stop, but it never will it?
Well, you know, I'm an optimistic guy, so I hope it does. I think that maybe there's a little bit more of an understanding of this in the education department nowadays, but it's really, really hard. I mean, people want, even middle class, even upper class people, in my experience, often want more government involvement in loans. They're worried about their own kids. And then the other thing I do want to say is a lot of people focus, like I Googled like student loan debt problem, and of the 10 news articles that came up, most of them dealt with students with six-figure debts at Ivy League colleges. That's not the typical person that's struggling with debt. If you have six figures of debt, typically you're getting like a medical or a law degree. One of the big problems, the people who have the hardest time paying back their loans, they only owe between $5,000 and $10,000. That seems weird. Well, the reason is those are people who don't get a degree. If you get your degree, you're very likely to pay it to pay off the loan. If you don't get a degree, you're far less likely. So I actually worry a lot about these people that we're encouraging more people to go to college that probably can't complete it. They don't get a degree. They wasted their time. And
I have another concern.
Job out of it.
Jared Skorup here. I have another concern, Jared, and that is this. You know, I would like to have gone to a more expensive university. You know, and I weighed my options based on cost and so forth. But if kids know that the university or the college is free or that their debt's going to be forgiven or they believe that's going to happen, they're going to go to some school, their dream school, and go get their gender studies degrees for some place and get $100,000 and be completely unemployable. That's what concerns me. They're going to schools they would not otherwise be able to consider because of price considerations, because you have to be able to live within your means. At least that's my crazy concept of the world, and they're going to go to these colleges, their dream college, and get their dream degree and be completely unemployable and send me the bill. That's what concerns me.
Yeah, now you're getting to the point of how do we change this, which is usually what I get from people when I said, you know, the big problem, of course we want the government to be less involved, which will cause more competition among schools, but really it has to be a culture or societal change. I mean, families need to know what they're signing up for when they take out their loans. Students need to understand when they're signing that form. I came in, same thing. I signed that form to take out a college loan. I'm still paying off my college loans. And I did not have a good idea of what I was signing up for. And I think that's true for most students. And if they do have a good idea and understand how much they're going to have to pay for it, if the banks that give out the loans, the federal government doesn't have hardly any skin in the game on this because taxpayers are going to bail it out. But if, like you said, if you go to a bank and banks have to write the loan and they understand, I might want to make sure that I'm giving this to the right student. I want to know what their degree is. I want to know if they're working while they're in college, if they can at least pay off a little bit of this at a time. There needs to be more skin in the game for families, students, and the banks that are giving out the money if you really want to change this.
Well, here's the thing. The government over the last 10 years or whatever has come out with requirements, as you know, Jared, when it comes to credit cards. What's the real payment? How much is your actual percentage rate? What are the payments going to be? If I borrow $100, what's it going to be? I think that a lot of that would be very helpful. If a student says, all right, I'm going to borrow $100,000 for education, what's the payment on that? What's the percentage? What's my monthly payment? And for how long? I mean, those are things that would be very illuminating, even for somewhat obtuse students, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that there's actually evidence that this might be turning in that direction. So the number of students going to college has just increased for, you know, 40, 50 years at least. Just the last 5 years now here in Michigan, half of our public universities have seen 10% or higher drops in enrollment. So only four of our public universities are seeing an increase in enrollment the last 5 years. So I think that that makes colleges more aware, and apparently students are determining whether college is the wise investment for them, and I think that's driven by the increased costs. And so maybe we will start to see that where schools are going to explore some options of lower-cost degree programs, shorter degree programs, and then hopefully the government follows suit there.
There you go. Jared Skorup, Director of Marketing and Communications, the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Jared, always appreciate your input.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And when it comes to money, I want to ask you something about money real quick, if it's okay. And that is, have you made your plans for tax day 2020? Now, you think, well, that's not until April. Well, what you do right now could have a great impact on that. It's almost Thanksgiving. And how you handle your taxes right now could make a big difference come April. If you make an investment in certain qualified investment categories right now, you could save how much taxes you pay to the government and instead put that money to your future. Here's what I want you to do. Get a hold of Mike Douglas and Bruce Van Hull. Do it right now. It doesn't matter where you live, anywhere in the state, anywhere in the country. Get online, MyLifePlanFinancial.com, MyLifePlanFinancial. MyLifePlanFinancial.com. You got it one more time. MyLifePlanFinancial.com. Make a plan that works. Don't give your money to the government. Save it for yourself. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
You know, people still walk up to me and say, man, have you lost weight? I'm Steve Gruber, and I did lose weight, a lot of it. I did it with My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost. I'm still surprised because it's been almost 2 years since I made the decision to drop the pounds. And with My Pure Health Solutions, I did it with a custom plan built just for me. And I'm so happy I did. I feel better. People tell me I look better. I lost 40 pounds. I still feel great. Find out more at GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com. That's GruberHealth.com. Believe me, if I could do it, so can you.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Bob Thomas, Chief Operating Officer for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. All across the state, businesses have joined the Michigan Chamber to be a part of the most influential business voice in Lansing. As a member, companies become part of a statewide network of small business, medium-sized companies, and industry leaders focused on improving pro-business legislation within state government. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all that we do. Together, we can make a difference, and together, we ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.